It's Central Time. I'm Judith Sears Poisson in for Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, we'll find out why the Wisconsin-based company Johnson Controls signed on to a White House climate pledge.
First, Gannett Wisconsin Media kicked off a new investigative series yesterday called Wisconsin Justice. They start with a look at sentencing in the state. Gannett looked at data from the past decade and found that some judges are known as harsh, while others are known as soft when it comes to sentencing.
Eric Litke is with us to talk about the series. He's an investigative reporter for Gannett Wisconsin Media. Eric, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me on.
We'll start with a quote from your piece there. Justice in Wisconsin is less a scale than a roulette wheel. Landing in one courtroom could lead to probation, another to a decade behind bars. So is that an exaggeration? Is that much disparity depending on what county you're in, what judge you go before?
You know, this series grew out of me spending close to a decade as a cops reporter and seeing that cases that seemed pretty similar on their face were very different in the final outcome based on which judge they happened to land before. And so we kind of set out to say, is there an objective way to see if this is the case? And it turns out I think we can say pretty clearly that it is. Looking at the last decade of felony sentencing data, you can see that an identical crime, if you take something as specific as like a fifth or sixth offense OWI, and you go to one county, you can see there's one judge in a number of cases that maybe has a 15-month average sentence for that crime, while just down the hall, same county, same crime, that could be 25 months in prison on average. So over the course of a decade, you're looking at a 10-month difference for the same crime. So it really does depend largely on the judge that you happen to draw. And so that's kind of what brought the roulette wheel metaphor to mind. We assume there's a level of fairness and consistency within the justice system, but that doesn't always seem to be the case here.
Now, you went through a whole mess of data of sentencing information around the state and found these discrepancies, as you say, between counties and in some cases, as you just mentioned, you know, among judges within one county. Do we have any idea what leads to this inconsistency from one courtroom to the next?
The key thing is really a lack of oversight and a lack of data that's available to the judges. I had a number of different law professors and judges themselves bring up metaphors like a silo or a bubble to describe how the judges are really incredibly isolated from one another. There's no sentencing guidelines on a statewide basis that would say, for this type of crime, here's the range of typical sentence, you know, unless there's some kind of extreme circumstance. It's really left to the judge to say, okay, should the sentence for this be zero? Should it be a 20-year or 40-year maximum? Because the legislature certainly sets out a maximum penalty, but it's to the whim, to the experience of the sentencing judge to decide where in that range that falls. And so there's no guidelines to say here's what should happen. And perhaps the more surprising thing is there's no data even provided to the judges on what has happened in the past. Judges often push back against guidelines because of the discretion that it takes away from them. But even to be able to say, okay, so for this crime, whether it's battery, whether it's an OWI homicide, here's the range of sentences that have been given on this crime in my county, in my district, in the whole state of Wisconsin, just to kind of have that information to start with, right? To say, okay, this is I think worse than an average crime, so it should be above that, or this is less than an average crime, it should be below that. So there's nothing to give a point of reference.
Talking to Eric Litke from Gannett Wisconsin Media about sentencing disparities from courtroom to courtroom, from judge to judge here in Wisconsin, same crime, very different sentences depending on who is up in front of you in the courtroom. Let's drill down into one of the crimes you just mentioned, OWI homicides. What kind of disparities do we see there?
Sure. Now, these were a crime that we didn't include kind of in the overall analysis because there is such a variety of circumstances that those can happen in. But it's a tremendous disparity basically because there are judges that treat an OWI homicide case as a tragic accident. And, you know, kind of everyone has bad luck sometime. And then there's others that say this was a intentional act of driving while you're drunk and you caused the death just as if you went up to someone and shot him. So you draw a tremendous range with that. So looking at the period that we did from 2005 to 2014, the median sentence was about 5 years. But over that span, we had 76 of the 300 people were sentenced to less than a year behind bars, and about that same number got 10 years or more. And as we look down to some of the specific cases, it wasn't that there was a certain type of crime or type of OWI homicide that led to one as opposed to the other. In some cases, there's a judge that said, you know, the crime killed your wife or your husband, so it's enough that you are without them. You're punished enough. There's nothing else we can do. And then they let them off with, you know, maybe jail time and a little probation. There's also a case where a driver killed a fiance and got, I believe it was 20 years in prison. And the judge said, regardless of whatever personal loss you suffered, we need to make a statement here that this action is not okay in the state of Wisconsin. So, again, an identical crime, very different results in different courtrooms.
Now, your findings in this collection of data are going to be new to a lot of people, but there's one group who's not going to be surprised. That's defense attorneys and what you call frequent flyer defendants, people in courts a lot. It appears that they know this, and you measure one indicator of that, requests to switch judges. Can you talk about how that plays out?
Sure. Defendants are given one judicial do-over per case, essentially. They're allowed to say, I do not want this judge. They don't get to choose who the new judge is. That's assigned by the system on a random basis, varies by county. But they can say, not this guy. And so that gives you a real clear window into what at least the perception is of perceived sentencing harshness. There's no reason that goes on the record in terms of why this is done, but just talking to attorneys around the state, generally you file a substitution request to avoid a judge that you believe is going to be a harsh sentencer in some way. And when you start looking at a couple of counties, you get a real clear picture of how that varies. For example, in Sheboygan County, there's a Judge James Bulgert who's developed a significant reputation as a lenient sentencer. And on the other side, you have Judge Angela Sutkevich, who's developed a reputation as a harsh sentencer. Over the last 5 years, Bulgert's had two substitution requests, all of his felonies, 5 years, two substitution requests. Sutkevich has had 350. Outagamie County has an even more extreme example of one judge with more than 1,000 substitution requests, and no other judge in the county had more than 100. So there are the people that know these systems best know that there is a difference between these judges, and they're specifically targeting these judges as the ones to avoid. From talking to folks within the jail system, these are things that the defendants themselves know as well. That if you get this particular judge, you've really won the judicial lottery.
So some judges, people might say, oh, they're too lax. Some people might say, oh, no, those other judges are too tough. But it sounds like the key that is missing here is consistency. So what kind of things are people looking at to create more consistency from judge to judge, from county to county?
Well, a big piece of it can be the sentencing guidelines. Minnesota has done this for the last number of years and has seen a marked increase in the consistency and realize kind of the side benefit of if you have more consistent sentences, you have a more predictable size of your prison population. So they've been able to eliminate some overcrowding problems on that end as well. So their system essentially has a way to create a kind of numerical factor for the different elements of the case, the criminal history of the defendant, aggravating factors within that particular offense that was committed. And they kind of pile those all together and it gives you, okay, within this sentencing range, here's where this crime should probably fall. Judges are still given the discretion to go outside that range if they feel like they need to for whatever reason, and they need to state those reasons. And the sentence can be appealed to a higher court if they do go outside that. But there is a assumption that most cases are going to be sentenced within that. And lacking that, to have, like I discussed, to have some way to at least let judges have that information. If you're going to continue to give them the complete discretion, then to at least let them say, okay, I'm going to exercise this discretion within this context, that I know here's what this sentence has, or what this crime has yielded sentence-wise, locally, and statewide.
So we don't have this kind of sentencing guideline in place in Wisconsin now, as I understand it. Have we had it in the past?
There have been two different attempts over the last 20 years to impose some guidelines. Both of them were advisory guidelines, however, as opposed to binding, so it created some additional paperwork for judges, which many of them chafed at, and it ultimately was not really a true guideline system because it's saying here's kind of the suggested range without having any of the meat or the power behind it to say, no, this is what you're required to do. And so we'll be delving into that in a little more detail later on in the series, of kind of why those commissions failed. But yeah, that's something that has not been in place to any degree in Wisconsin since 2007.
And who would be the decider? Who would have to change things to give us either sentencing guidelines, mandatory or advisory, or a sentencing commission?
That's a legislative decision to create a body like that and decide how much power to give them. There are administrative officers within the state court system that would have the ability to aggregate some of this data and at least create this and say, here, judges, this is the sentencing information that we have for this crime. But they right now don't have the authority, they haven't been instructed to do that, and they don't have the resources to do that because that is a fairly time and labor intensive thing to undertake. And the thing I was told by the head of the Office of Court Operations is that they are right now a pretty significant investment away from being able to provide that kind of information to judges.
Eric, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That's Eric Litke, investigative reporter for Gannett, Wisconsin Media. He was with us to talk about a new series on circuit court judges in Wisconsin. It's called Wisconsin Justice. You can see the first installment in the series, more on what we've just been talking about, over at the Central Time Facebook page.